Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
Well, happy Father's Day. Yes. We're in a sermon series on the family. We've entitled All in This Together. And we've had the last 2 weeks have been some dynamic guest speakers. Duffy Robbins and Pastor Jamel Mayo last week that really blessed us. We're talking about different aspects of the family, the biblical family, and how God has set that up. And there's different moments in your life that kind of grab your attention. One, and we kind of mark this day, is called Dads and Grads. For every father in the room, you know when you have a child, it changes your life. All of a sudden, you go from just being into yourself, now you got to take care of a small one, and you know you're getting older. And then also graduation. There's defining moments. When you graduate high school, you're like, uh-oh, now what am I going to do with my life? Or college, you graduate college, like, wow, this is moving. Then when you hit 30, you say, I never thought I would be 30. You're now old. You're officially old, and you hit 30. And then 50 years old, and then when you're like 52, you get an AARP card, and you're like, I'm not ready for that. Yeah. And then like when you, like in your 60s, and all of a sudden now you qualify Social Security, you're like, I can't believe I'm old enough. Then you retire, or then you have grandkids, and then you're like in your 70s or 80s, and like all through your life, you have like these defining moments of time. You've heard it like this: timing is everything. And timing is critical. Let me just, for example, today is Father's Day, and so some of you are going to go out on the grill and cook, and you're going to send your father out there. There's something wrong about cooking on Father's Day, but you're going to get nice chunks of meat or some burgers, and you know it depends on you and it depends on that grill, but you got to put that meat on and put it on there just the right time. If you leave that, and I don't know, maybe you have your grill's kind of warm in some section, but if you put a good piece of meat and you leave it on there too long and you bring it in, everyone in the room is going to look at you, you cooked it too long, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? And if you don't do it enough and you got like the blood's dripping down your arm, you know there's a problem. It has to be done just right. You know what I'm talking about, right? Timing is everything. You know, my mom has Parkinson's, and if you take medicine or you take pills, you know you have to take those pills on the right time of the right day. My mom, she's so bad in her health, she has like this container. It has the M, the T, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and they have pills for every day. If she gets off on her pills, she's messed up for the week. Timing is everything. It's in medicine. It's also in finance. For example, if your company you work for is going down, it may be bad time to walk in and ask for a raise. Or maybe like you play the stock market. There's a right time to buy and a right time to sell. If you mess that up, you're probably going to be poorer. Let me just say this. In life, especially your spiritual life, timing is most important. So I have a message for the graduates. I have a message for fathers about God's timing in your life, but really for everybody. The timing of God is important to you and your spiritual life and your spiritual growth. God's timing in your life. Now, we look at our text this morning. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It's the teacher, the man of wisdom. Most people believe that Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Some people argue about that. But here's what the Bible says. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. By the way, this has been a rough, rough week for Orlando. You know, think about that. You know, you have a gentleman go into a club and what kills 50 people, injures a bunch of others. Christina Grimmie, when we did the vigil on Monday night, it's sad. Just someone, just a stranger come and just take someone young like that, takes their life like that. And then you hear the other story, it almost doesn't sound true. A little child at one of the Disney World kind of gets away from the parents. An alligator. Did you hear about that? A gator eats the child. All in Orlando. The Bible says there is a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. You see, there's 15 of these and there's good and bad. This is life. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to end. I know there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is a gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before. God will call the past to account. I want to talk to you about God's perfect timing in your life. Number one, God appoints the times and the seasons. You know what? I grew up basically my whole life in New Jersey, and I want to tell you, I'm a New Jersey guy. I love New Jersey. Well, thank you, brother. I love New Jersey. Part of the reason why I like New Jersey, now, just to be, there's a balance here. A lot of people who run small businesses struggle in New Jersey because New Jersey is very high tax and it's hard for them. So you might understand that. New Jersey is the number one state to people to move out of. How many people are paying too much on their taxes? Or rent? Or car insurance? Or on your girlfriend? I'm just joking. I mean, you know, it's expensive to live in New Jersey. So if you can go down to North Carolina, South Carolina, or Florida, many people do. But I happen to like New Jersey. Those are some of the negatives. One of the reasons is because in New Jersey, you have all four seasons of the year. You go to Florida, all you have is hot. That's all you have is hot all the time. Nothing wrong with Florida. But right now, we're in summer. And in about 8 weeks, we will again transition from summer to what? Fall. And then in New Jersey, and we had a kind of a rough winter, we had some big snow, you will go into snow. So if you like the snow, New Jersey is the place for you. And then we get out of the snow and we go to the spring. And generally, we have all the seasons of the year in New Jersey. How many are grateful, though, it's summertime? Is anyone grateful that it's summertime? I don't know if you knew this, but we had 79 straight days of rain, of a foot a day here in New Jersey. I'm just joking. We are ready to get out and enjoy the summer. You say, well, who does that? The Bible says that God appoints the times and the seasons. He's in charge. He sets the calendar. He sets the schedule. And he makes New Jersey run. All the seasons and all the times are designated by God. Now go back to verse 2. This is very helpful for us to understand. A time to be born, so God knows everybody's birthday. He knew it before time began. He knew when you would be born. And he knows when everybody's funeral will be. There's a time to be born and a time to die. This is also true of the plant life, or a time to plant and a time to uproot. You know this to be true if you work on a farm. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. God does not like killing. He doesn't want us to kill, but there's a reality of corporal punishment. There's an issue of people go to war. There's a time for war and to kill, and there's also a time to heal. The Bible knows that. There's a time to tear down and a time to build. Sometimes you got to knock down old buildings and build new ones. It's just, there's times for that. So time to weep and a time to laugh. You go to a funeral and it's you weep, and there's other times where it's a party and it's time to rejoice. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Verse 5, you get the idea. There's a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. You know what? In the Old Testament, the Bible talks about this is sexual intimacy. There's a time to have sex, the Bible says. And then there's a time not to have sex. That's an important lesson that we need to hear in our world. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. The Bible says, listen, there is things that happen in our life, and there's a certain time that everything has to be done. Now, there's another part about life and about time. The Bible says this about time. Time goes by fast. The psalmist said it like this. They are like breath, mankind. They are like breath. Their days are like a fleeting shadow. The book of James says it like this. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You know what your life is like? Gone. You will be here and then you will be gone, according to the scripture. It's just a brief breath of life. So when you're a graduate today and you're kind of leaving your home, you're 18 or whatever, or you're graduating from college, you think, oh, I got the world in front of me, I have a lot of time. No, you don't, according to scripture. The Bible says life goes fast. And anybody who's getting older, you know that to be true. And the older you get, the faster it goes. The Bible is true. Where's Carrie? Carrie, Lord, can you just raise your hand? So Carrie has a beautiful, actually two daughters. So does Joel, but mostly got the beauty from right there. But they had a child that graduated from the preschool, Marlton Christian Academy. Matter of fact, let me just show you a couple pictures from the graduation, because we have a great preschool here. These kids are just wonderful, beautiful kids. God's using them, touching their lives. Full house on Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning. These are great pictures. Great ministry around the building every day. Wonderful. We're really grateful for the teachers and leaders. But Skylar, I just happened to notice that Joel and Carrie Lord, they put a picture of their daughter, Skylar, in graduating on this past Friday. You know what it said? It said, slow down. Their child's getting too big, too quick. If you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It goes fast. But God has determined the times and the cycles of life, and he's in charge of it all. I just want you to know, there's a dynamic of confidence in God, that God has the cycles of life, and it goes fast. You say, well, we have a problem, though. God is not limited by time or matter or space, right? So God, although he's infinite, he's not connected with us. So God can't relate with us. He's not in our time, so he's not close to us. Does everyone know what FaceTime is or Skype? How many of you know what that is, right? It used to be like a missionary, if they would go, let's say, to Africa 20, 30, 40 years ago. They would just go, and then they would come back four years later and tell people what God did. Now, because your cell phone, you're never really away from your family. You could FaceTime. You're live. But check this out. You could be in Africa in a different time zone, and you could still have intimacy with somebody right in front of you. God doesn't have to be right with you or in the same time zone, or he doesn't even have to be in the same space as you, but he can still be active in your life, even though he's infinite God. See, a lot of people think God's way up there, but God, he is active in our lives today. He is FaceTiming us every single day, although he is not limited. He is the inventor of time, but he is not limited to it. So what should you do if you only have a little bit of time? Dads, let me just tell you. You should take advantage of the time that you have with your kids when they're young. My kids, hey, man, I'm ready. I have an 18-year-old kid. I am ready for them to move on. Get off the payroll. You know, let's go. We have things to do. It's good to kind of move on, but you seize the moments that you have with your family. Graduates, seize the time. Make the best use of your time. Use it wisely. Christian, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, use your time wisely. Invest wisely, but knowing that God appoints the seasons of the time. Number two. God allows change in your life. God allows change in your life. Many people resist change. A lot of people hate change. How many of you hate change? You just don't like it. You want everything just to stay. Here's what happens, though. God changes people, especially people who follow Christ. Notice this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 says, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. The old things are gone, and then the new things have come. If you give your life to Christ, you're going to change. You know, the Bible says, like, once you're in darkness, and now you're going to see differently. Or you're dead, and now you're alive. Or your heart was hard about some things, now your heart is soft about things. God will continue to change you. Change is good. There's some people who hate change. God wants to change you. He wants to help you. And oftentimes he does change through difficult times in our life, trials or even persecutions in your life. Now the problem is we live in America, and America's want everything comfortable. And so we resist change, but God is always looking to change you and to help you and to keep things fresh and vibrant in your life. So I've owned a house here in Marlton now for 9 years. And I had this idea, you know, we have a graduation and all this. We have people come to our house, whatever. I'm like, we painted 9 years ago on the inside of the house. We need a fresh paint in the house. We need vibrancy. So I'm going crazy for Operation Graduation in my house. Power washing, cutting down trees, painting everything, getting ready. And I just had this idea that we paint the living room. Have you been into the field house when you walk in? It's like a red wall. I said, that's a nice red wall. And so, like, I don't know, men, how you do work around the house, but I just don't like the honey-do list. I don't want to be nagged. Okay, if there's stuff to do, I'll do it, but on my own timing, right? I'm like, on my timing. All right, I don't know what that means, but thank you. But I got excited. I'm doing all this work, you got, you know, whatever happening. And my wife's like, so when she sees me in work mode, she's like, oh, my husband's doing work around the house. She just lets me do it. But I decided to paint the living room the same color as the red wall in the field house. I'm not sure that's a good move or not. But she's not saying anything. So we have like this invisible tension in the air. The red room. I like it, but I'm not sure she likes it. I think I'm going to go away for a couple days and come home and it's going to be changed. All I can say is this. Change is good. And listen, you know what? You might need to go outside and maybe freshen up your house or paint a couple bedrooms. You know, maybe your car needs a cleaning or a detail. Or there's things that have to get done. Change is a good thing. God brings change in your life to keep you fresh, to keep you moving. And you're maybe in a season of change in your life. And by the way, churches should change. You might be here and say, Pastor, you know, we're in 2016. I like how things were in the 80s. God doesn't want us to go back. He has something new for us to do all the time. You know that, right? I see that sometimes with people as they get older. They really appreciate where they came from. And they wish it never changed. But God is always changing. He's always developing. I'm not trying to make it difficult on you. All I'm saying is there's always a new thing that God's doing. Or maybe there's a new people group in the community, some poor people, some people that need help, some moms, or somebody needs help in the community. And God's saying, why don't you reach them for Christ? Invite them. Do something for kids ministry. God develops change in your life to make you more like Christ. And change is good. But listen to this. With all this change, there is one thing that is consistent. God does not change. This is important. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi says it like this. The Lord, do not change. About Jesus, this is the next scripture. It says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So the world is constantly changing, but God does not change. There's a big word. It's called immutable. Say that to your neighbor. Immutable. Theologians use this about the nature and character of God. Immutability, it's talking about God is unchanging in his character, his will, and his covenant promise. God does not change. So we are always changing, but God never changes. Aren't you glad that God never changes? Listen, I've dealt with a lot of people. One of the most difficult people to deal with are alcoholics. There's people in our congregation, they grew up broken, and this is what I mean. When dad wasn't on alcohol or drugs, he's a nice guy. But when he started drinking, when he went to the bar and he came home, all hell broke loose. Or dad would come down the steps and he's been drinking, everybody would get like whipped. Could you imagine if God was like that? Like one day he's nice and kind and forgives you all of his sins, the next day he hates you. God is not like that. God is consistently loving you, caring about you. He's a good and a faithful God. Even your perception, let's say you had a bad dad or an absent dad. You say, well, maybe God's absent. He's just kind of like far away and he doesn't really care about me. The answer is absolutely not. God never changes. He's a loving and caring God all the time. Or you say, well, maybe God's bipolar. Or maybe he's on drugs. Or maybe God takes alcohol. So sometimes, and this is like this perception of a father, the breakdown of the American family is this weakness of a dad. So now God is not close to people because dads aren't close to their kids. Or there's brokenness, so families are broken, so maybe that's the way God has it, he's broken. Or dad is so inconsistent, he's like a buffoon. He's a joke. No respect or no love. You remember like TV like 40 or 50 years ago? Father knows best. Authority figure. Loves people. You know, like nowadays, the father's a joke. You ever notice that? Remember that's all, what's it called? All with the Children? Wait, no, what's that song? What's that show? What's that? No. Ted Bundy, the Ted Bundy show. What's the name of that? Married with Children. Remember that one? Married with Children. I knew we'd get it. Come on, let's work together. Did I have it wrong? Was it? Al Bundy. What's Ted Bundy? Yeah, no, not Ted Bundy. No! Ho-ho! Is it getting hot in here? Just joking. It's a whole nother definition for sweaty socks. Okay, Al Bundy, right?
Yeah, Al Bundy.
You remember Al Bundy? His wife dressed like a prostitute. Daughter was promiscuous. The son was a wild man. The dad was a doof. He was a doof. Dads are doofs nowadays. But guess what we call our Heavenly Father? Father in Heaven. I want to tell you that God is a good God. And maybe he's not like your dad. I'm telling you, he is consistent. He is good. If anyone has sin in their life, they can ask God, who generously takes away our sin. He's faithful and good. He's reliable. And listen, he doesn't have like bad days. God doesn't change. Could you imagine God got drunk today? And he ruined you and he ruined your life and your perception? That's not God. He's a good God. And so the world changes all around us. But I just want you to know, the world's changing. And it's spinning. And God's in control of all this stuff. But you can put your faith and confidence of a good and a faithful Father up in heaven. He loves you and cares about you. And he is a good God. And he does not change. Could you imagine if God was nice one day and then not nice the other day? You say, John, how am I supposed to be as a father? Like maybe you don't have a good role model. Here's how you're supposed to be as a dad, real simple. You treat your kids how God treats you. Is he not loving and kind? Is he not gracious? Matter of fact, if we get out of order, doesn't God in his love discipline us to bring us back to where we need to be? He doesn't get angry at us to send us to hell. He helps us to mature and develop in our lives. God is a good God, and God allows change in our life for the good of our life. And then number three. God wants us to trust and enjoy him. You say, what do you mean? Verse 12 through 14. Look at this. Verse 12. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. Verse 13. That each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their work or all their toil. This is a gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away from it. You say, what does God want for my life? He wants us to know him and enjoy him. And here's the reason why you can enjoy God. Here, listen to this. Because God is in control. You might think, because the world is spinning out of control, the times and the seasons, and you always see different Christians are always like this, oh, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. Or some of you, and I'm just saying this because Burlington County is the hub of the Republican Party. Some of you wait till Sean Hannity comes on at 10 o'clock. And Fox News, you know what they do, right? They get your Ganter up. Or you watch CNBC, so you're a Democrat. You watch this stuff, and they get your Ganter. They get it going. Listen, if Trump doesn't get in office, we're dead. We're in trouble. The Muslims are going to move in. We got to build the wall. He's going to restore a trade with China. Trump's the guy. He's the guy. And other people are like, no, hate Trump. We can't get a Republican because if a Republican gets in there, everything's doomed. I have good news for you. God's in control. He's in control of the seasons. Listen, this is my perception. we're in trouble no matter if Hillary or Trump get in there. Just my perception. We're dead. Listen, government's important. There's three key things that God created. The family, he's created the government, and what's the other one? I'm getting messed up. And the church. Let's not forget that one. The only one that he's coming back for is his church. So God's created it. It's cycling. God knows everything. Your birthday, he knows everything. He allows everything. But you can trust him. Listen, if you're putting your stock in the American dollar, you're putting your stock in Hillary or Donald Trump, and no disrespect, if you put your, they're not in control. God's in control. He even allows people to rise, even evil people. In the Old Testament, remember, he raised up the Babylonians to come against God's people because they were in sin. God has it all under control, and you can trust him. So you could go to bed early tonight and sleep well tonight knowing that God's in control. What happens is, though, God says, listen, keep your eyes on me. Focus on Jesus. You sit there, 10 o'clock comes in, and Sean Hannity, he's speaking. He's got guys on, though. He's got people of the Muslim faith in. He's got these people in. He's got these people in. And man, you're just getting ticked off. And your blood boils with the culture. Or maybe you're on the other side. You say, John, listen, America's been doing bad to me my whole life. My people. Maybe you're a woman. You say, women have not the same right to vote. They haven't. And Hillary's just, she's getting you good. I'm the first woman. Go win. And you're like into the woman thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. Or you're maybe into a culture thing. Listen, if you got your mind on a certain political party for a certain reason and not on Jesus, you'll never have joy and satisfaction in your life. They all let you down. You know what I found out about politics too? Even someone who claims Christ, but behind the scenes, you come to find out, oh, they just were saying that to get my vote. I can't lock into a person. I must believe that God is in control. He has all the timing together, and we can trust him. So if you're graduating, say, John, do you know how hard it is? You go for 4 years, you spend a lot of money, your parents take out 5 mortgages on the house, and you still can't get a job. You graduate, you still can't get a job. Listen, God's in control. He can take care of you. I'm telling you, he's a faithful and a good God. Say, John, listen, I'm a father in distress. I think about money a lot. I think about how to pay the bills and retirement, all this stuff. All I'm saying is this. God is bigger than the economy, and God will take care of you. He is in control. I'm telling you, this world will throw. This past week was a little crazy if you think about it. There's two things that this culture is trying to push on you and your kids. Moms and dads, listen to this. One is the homosexual agenda, and the other is the rise of Islam. And they came running together at a nightclub this past week. It seems like a young man who frequented the club, who happened to be Muslim, it looks like he came and shot up a whole bunch of people and kept people hostage in the bathroom, and right before he died, he gives praise to Allah. So now there's this more compassion for homosexuality. Have you noticed that, right? By the way, Christians don't hate anybody. We don't hate homosexuals or anybody, but you have this promotion of homosexuality, and at the same time, you have a promotion of the Islam faith. You actually have tension with the president of the United States, because what do all the people on Fox News, what do they say? They say the president will not say extreme terrorist. And he just said it this past week. What happens if you do say it? What does it benefit? So you have these two things rising. Most people have no idea about the Islamic faith. About Muhammad, they don't know the 5 pillars, but it's rising. And most people are confused sexually today. That's why even at Cherokee High School, they converted one of the bathrooms to a transgender thing. Most young people, it's not about sexuality, boy, girl, it's how you feel. Our world is flipped upside down. It's going to keep coming to a head. This drive. You say, John, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen, but I can tell you this. God's got everything under control. And if you'll keep your eyes focused on him, he'll take care of you, he'll take care of his church, and he is coming back soon. We don't have to be nervous or scared. Some of you might just need to turn off Sean Hannity. You might just need to turn off your favorite guy because your blood boils. You get all tense, and maybe we just need time to pray for our president. Maybe you need to witness to a homosexual. Maybe you need to invite somebody to the gay community church. Maybe you need to love somebody, tell the hope that's found in Christ. I want to tell you, the only answer for this world is found in the peace and love that's found in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. So Solomon says, listen, I want you to enjoy life. You say, how do you really enjoy life? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the resurrection and life. And in Christ, he gives you a new life. Enjoy that new life in Christ. Now, if you're outside of Christ, you can't really enjoy yourself. Even if you put it on Facebook, you got the little nose and the dog ears, you're acting like you're happy, but you're not really, you can't be happy without Christ. You're not really satisfied. There's no satisfaction inside of the heart. So you can only find satisfaction in God. Can I just tell you how to be happy? It's called joyful holiness. Joyful holiness. Like, for example, like my dad, he was in ministry, but he was balanced. Like, he went to all my games. Like, I played basketball and sports. But he never, like, ran up to the cage with a baseball bat and, like, hit the my coach, like, with a baseball bat over the head and say, my kid needs to play more. I never heard him cursing at the referee. Like, as a family, we would play board games, you know, like Monopoly and all this different stuff. We would be competitive, extremely competitive, extremely competitive. But it was joyful. Like, my family, we played card games today, but I tell people, like, listen, you want to have fun? You get two posts from Home Depot and a net off Amazon for $15, and you have a backyard, you get a fire pit, which kind of costs you nothing, and you have kids over from the youth group and let them play. You don't need alcohol to have fun. You know what? You know, I'm telling you, this is the day. This is the culture. You have young parents, this is what happened. It happened to my kid. This is what you do now. If you go to a party, mom or dad are there to greet you. And you turn over your keys because parents are serving alcohol now to the kids. And they're going to make sure nobody ever drives home drunk. Listen, I tell my kids, listen, don't ever give away your keys. First of all, I'm paying the insurance. You are not allowed to give. But parents are serving alcohol to their kids. The world says to have fun, you need alcohol. Let me just tell you. Jesus says, be filled with the Spirit. When you are filled with the Spirit, you have joy unspeakable that's full of glory. Usually when you get drunk with alcohol, you make bad life decisions. You're over the toilet bowl the next day. You're hungover. You're with somebody. You're hooking up. You know what hooking up means? You're sleeping with somebody you have no idea who with. And usually it's too late by the time you get a disease or bad decision. This is the culture of the day. It's just assumed. This is just how it is. Listen, you don't need that. God says, listen, I want you to enjoy life and life to the full. Everybody after church, I want you to eat and enjoy life, laugh. You say, well, John, I'm not happy. I don't have this season of my life. I'm not happy with my life. I want to tell you the only satisfaction is found in Christ and Christ alone. It's so easy to get off track. I'm telling you, even the pastors, preacher, you know, you're serving Jesus and all of a sudden you get tired or something bothers you, or you have your own stress or finances, and all of a sudden you just start focusing a little bit on other stuff, and you kind of start missing it. Man, say, Lord, teach me to keep my eyes focused on you, because that is the satisfaction of the heart. And now you can play a game or whatever. I just see it with people. If you'll focus there on Jesus, you say, John, I'm not even sure what season I'm in. You don't even know what's going on. Look what James chapter 1, verse 5 says like this. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You're in a season. Your season might be, I just graduated high school. I'm ready to get out. I'm ready to conquer the world. Enjoy that season. It's going to go real fast. You say, I just got married. Enjoy that season. I'm just having kids. Enjoy that season. John, my husband just left me. That's reality. You're in a season. Your kids are growing up. You're a single mom. You're a single dad. That's your season. You're going through heartache. That's your season. Your kids are out of the house. That's your. I just retired. That's my season. My body's breaking down. That's my season. Everybody in the room, you're in a season, and God's in control. And you can trust him and enjoy him in every season of your life. He's God. And I don't know what season you're in, or I can just guarantee you, all of us are moving into new seasons constantly. The good thing about New Jersey, if you don't like summer, hold on, fall's coming. It's like Dunkin' Donuts. You miss one, there's another one coming right up around the corner. That's just how it is. You don't like summer? Fall's here. You don't like fall? Listen, I'm telling you, seasons roll, and God is faithful, and God is good, and you can trust him every step of the way. Romans 8, verse 28 says this. You know it. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You say, John, what can I have assurance in my heart? Number one, the Bible still has all the answers for your life. I explain this to men, fathers. Most men are scared that when they die, their life, no one's going to remember them. So that's why men will put their name on libraries of institutions, so that their name stays alive. So you're living your life. You say, what does it matter? Some of us are scared that our kids won't even come to our own funeral. Like, did I do enough? Did I help them out enough? You say, I want something bigger. You know, the Bible says God's put eternity in our hearts. We know it's not just right here, but we're scared. We don't know what to do. When you read the Bible, something transpires between you and God for all of eternity. This is what it says. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. When a grown man reads the Bible, you are connecting your life spiritually to eternity, and it's making a difference for all of eternity. And you can have assurance when you read the Bible that your life matters beyond for the moment. Because most people just get stuck in their own little world. Does what I do make importance? Does my wife care? Do my kids respect me? Do I make enough money? And all this different, I think about sex too much or whatever. We got all this stuff that's going on in our mind. But when you connect with the scriptures, it keeps you for all eternity. There's only two things that are going to last: people and the word of God for all of eternity. So a man of God will invest in the word of God. But you could bank your whole life on that scripture. You can be sure of this. Prayer still works. The Holy Spirit still moves. God inhabits the praises of people. God will still pour out his blessing on his people. And there's room at the cross for all of his children. I want you to know, in every season of your life, God is faithful and you can trust him and enjoy him. You say, John, I hate my life. I hate my season of my life. I'm not happy. I wish I had a girlfriend or a boyfriend. I want to get married. I wish I had kids. I wish I didn't have this heartache. He walked out on me. She's not doing this. I hate getting older. I don't like my body, how I feel. When I was young, I wish I had more money, I had more stability. The Lord says this, that we are in every season and we can trust him through the seasons. And I found this to be true. This is like pastoring. Sometimes your worst moments can become your best moments. You say, John, I'm hurting, I'm broken, I'm seeking direction and wisdom. You put that before God. Say, God, in this season of my life, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I feel like quitting. Lord, I'm wrestling with thoughts. I give my thoughts to you. God will help you and lead you through at this season of your life. Martin Lloyd Jones said this. He said this, and may the triune God abide with us throughout the remainder of this our short, uncertain life and pilgrimage. May God and his grace go with you today and your pilgrim through life. He was a pastor. He used to read this to his congregation. May God be with you as you go through this journey of life and trust him for it goes short. Would you pray with me?